Why don't we welcome Stephanie up?
Hello. I haven't used one of these before, but you can hear me, I'm guessing. Well, that's a good start. There was a time in this church when we all knew everybody and everybody knew everybody else and everybody knew everybody's business. Not really. But that's not the case now, and that's really good, right? That there's new people. We've got an influx of new people, and you are very welcome. I am Stephanie. I'm married to this virtuoso. Born in Manchester of Irish parents. There we go, just knocked it. And grew up in a Catholic household. Went to university, found Jesus there. He was studying rabbinic studies. No. Met Alistair in London eventually. He said, we should go to New Zealand. I'm like, not yet. 4 years later, he's dragged me here. Well, not really, but came out here and I was like, whoa, this is really nice. We should have come sooner. And we have three lovely children. Kiva is 25. She's in Wellington. Erin is 22 in Dunedin. And Aidan is down the back there, and he's sometimes on the drums. So today, it's the series called Acts, is it? I suppose it would be. It's Acts number 4. So before I get stuck into that, we need to know what happened leading up to Acts 4, which is what we're doing today. So Acts 1 was a period after Jesus rose from the dead, and he's with the disciples again. Eventually, they recognize who he is. And he's continuing to tell them that he's going to be going away, but that the Holy Spirit would come when he goes. And they're like, okay. Acts 2 recounts the events of Pentecost. So the disciples are in the upper room. The Holy Spirit is poured out, and they're speaking in languages and tongues that they had no idea anything about. And then Acts 3 is the story of the lame man. The lame man who was brought to the temple doors every day since birth. He was a cripple. He was put there every day to beg, and Peter and John were going into the temple, and they said, you know, have you got any money? So Peter and John said to them, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, walk. And they pulled him to his feet, and his bones and limbs started to form and become strong, and he started jumping and running and praising God right there and then. And so this gathered a massive crowd and all the commotion, everyone's, what's going on, what's happened? And so then, Acts 4. So I'm just going to read it through from verse 1 to 21, and then I'll come back to it, okay? So Acts 4, it's a really exciting chapter, actually. So hold on. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. So this is them just addressing the crowd after this miracle. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they chucked them into jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unskilled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin so that they could confer together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they've done an outstanding miracle and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. Let's go back to verse 1. The priests, the captain of the temple guard, the Sadducees, came up to Peter and John while they were speaking. It says they, as in the Sadducees and all those officials, were greatly disturbed. I bet they were. The Sadducees and officials had had months of Jesus and the apostles causing absolute mayhem in their cities. Jesus claiming he was the Messiah, all these miracles happening. They'd completely lost all order and control. What did they do to put a stop to it? They had him crucified. Let's get some decorum back in this place. They were probably looking forward to a bit of peace and quiet. And they really had their positions and authority threatened with all of this mayhem that was going on. The Romans were not happy. There was just mayhem. And they just thought, oh, good, we're done with all of that. Now we can have some peace and quiet and get back to normal living. Well, I don't think so. Here are Peter and John performing miracles again and talking about Jesus rising from the dead. And the crowds are going wild and getting bigger and bigger. The officials, they're like, we're not having a bar of this. Lads, we're done with this. So they were arrested and they were thrown in jail. So they had a night in jail and, you know, they had time to think and ponder. Do you think Peter and John might have thought, you know, we could get a wee plan to escape here? Did they think maybe of showing up the next day, apologizing for the hassle and the mayhem they were causing? Sorry, Governor. Maybe they would promise to be no longer causing any disturbance of the peace. I mean, we are talking about Peter after all. He might have been saying to John, this is a fine mess you've got us into, Rodney. I mean, John. Because it wasn't that long ago, after Jesus was arrested and Peter was skulking around the courtyard. Oh! Damaged it. Do you? I knew I should have just had a handheld. I'm not used to a handheld either. Anyway. Yeah, because Peter, when Jesus was arrested, like, you know, what did he do? He skulked around and hid. And, you know, when he was challenged by a servant girl, you know, she said, hey, you're one of Jesus' followers, aren't you? Peter replied, woman, I don't know him. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another said, certainly this fellow was with him. He is a Galilean. Peter called down curses and swore to them. Man, I don't know what you're talking about, the rooster crowed. Back to Acts 4. So they had been in jail for the night, and the next day they were brought out for questioning. So you can imagine the state of affairs now. And anyone who was anyone of authority was present. The rulers, the elders, the teachers of the law, Annas, the high priest Caiaphas, another John, I don't know who John that is, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. Now, this scene kind of sounds a wee bit familiar, doesn't it? Not that long ago, Jesus was standing in this court before these men. Maybe it's the same men. This is a very intimidating group of people. This is a very intimidating place. These are the people who sent Jesus for crucifixion. And now we have Peter and John before them. They ask, by what power or name did you do this? The healed man was still standing there, by the way. And I'm going to read this. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this. You, all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands healed before you. The officials were reeling at the courage of Peter and John. Look at our Peter now, filled with the Holy Spirit. The authorities, like, they were just like, these are uneducated, ordinary men. And Peter declared Jesus Christ, not just Jesus. Saying Jesus Christ is calling him Jesus the Messiah. He's pointing out to them, you guys, you plonkers, he was right here, the Messiah that you've been waiting for. You didn't recognize him, and you've crucified him. So just watch boldness of Peter. And they also declared the resurrection of the dead. I mean, that is like, what? What are you talking about? The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And yet they are just going for the jugular. They are right there, not skirting around it. You know when you have to have those difficult conversations, like, well, going that way, maybe do a bit of shimmy this way, and then go down there eventually. No, they just went in, said it. There was nothing that the officials could do. The healed man, the lame man that was healed was there, well and able-bodied. You know, these rulers would have walked past this cripple every day and saw him at that temple door every day. And now he was there. He was probably dancing like a loon with his newfound legs on. So joyful. So the officials had a bit of an issue. So they ordered them out of the court while they discussed what they were going to do. And they decided that the best course of action was to command Peter and John to, quote, speak no longer to anyone in this name. They called Peter and John back in and told them the decision. What do you think Peter and John did? They replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. And they let them go. Isn't this just the best? But before we turn our attention to the Holy Spirit, let's just go back to Peter. Peter, who had denied Jesus, is a transformed man. Peter recognized his failings, but when Jesus calls him to follow him again, he does so. He doesn't disqualify himself when Jesus qualifies him. Forgiving and extending mercy to us when we least deserve it is the business of Jesus. With a repentant man, woman, or child, God can do wonders. And that is mercy and grace and forgiveness and mercy and grace and forgiveness and mercy and grace and forgiveness. Peter is transformed into a bold and courageous man. Gone is the cowardly, shrinking back in fear, Peter. He is empowered because he's full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us that we need the Holy Spirit. He said it was better that he go so that we could have the Holy Spirit. John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is good, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, another name for the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. We're told that the Holy Spirit is a gift to us. I love gifts. It's a purposeful gift. We're told that we would do great things. John 14:12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. He's telling us we will do even greater things than he did. What did Jesus do that we might do greater? Miracles, healings, exorcisms, raising people from the dead, sharing the good news of forgiveness of sins, sharing that a new life is possible, that there is hope and a heaven, and he brought the kingdom of God wherever he went. And he said, we will do these things. I like to pretend that that verse doesn't apply to me. That it only applies to the apostles. They were the ones that were able to witness Jesus doing the miracles. And maybe they had the opportunity to make notes on how to perform the different miracles. And the different things. The 3 steps to healing a broken leg for dummies. Or the potion for a gamma eye in 30 seconds using a NutriBullet. Or did they get the chance to create a Duolingo app for speaking in tongues? No, they were sent out with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's no difference for them and us. And we see this happening with other people like Barnabas and Stephen. They weren't with Jesus, but they carried on these things full of the Holy Spirit. Yet this promise that we get to do and see great things is for you and for me. we need the Holy Spirit, right? The third person of the Trinity. Our flesh is weak, right? In and of ourselves, the sinful nature isn't that attractive. Discontentment, selfishness, impatience, no control, brash, unkind, self-centeredness. And that's only a few of mine. In contrast, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I'm 57. I should be able to rhyme off so many, many, many times that I was out working in the Holy Spirit. I have a few, which I'll share. I have many times when I was operating in the flesh. I'll save those for another day. But the first time I really experienced the Holy Spirit, I was at uni in Preston and went to a Christian Union gathering, and there was a guest speaker, and after the meeting we were just milling around, and I'm usually very compliant, and I wouldn't be going opening a door in a building that I didn't know. But anyway, I opened this door and I was like, whoa, what's going on? And I closed the door again, and there was people being prayed for and the Holy Spirit was in. I didn't know what was going on though, but I went home that night and I was like, gosh, I literally got wind of the Holy Spirit. So in the morning, I got up and I went, I need to find those people. I could remember what two, there was only about four or five of them, but I remembered what two of them looked like. I didn't know them. So I'm going to go and find those. I need to speak with those people. And sure enough, I found them in the library. And I said, I was at that meeting last night. And what were you guys doing? And they said, come on out. And they prayed for me. Oh, my gosh. It was incredible. I went back to the flat, and, you know, that day previously was a shocking day. It's one of those days where, you know, you're running for the bus, and the bus just pulls off when you think you're going to make it. And you say, oh, I'm going to walk home, standing at the curb, and, you know, big car goes past and the puddle ends on me. And you get home, you're like, oh, sorry, I'll get home, I'll get me a nice dinner, a couple of Irish pork sausages in the fridge waiting. Got home, somebody had eaten me sausages. I was like, what? So I'll just go and take in the washing. It's been raining now, it's probably going to be all wet. Went outside, the washing line had broken. It was all in the muck and the puddles. I was like having a shocking day. But anyway, I was on a mission to find these guys, and they prayed for me. Well, the washing of the sausages didn't matter. I think I went out the next day and bought a whole bag of sausages and gave them to everybody in the flat. But I felt different. I was like, what's that song? Walking on sunshine. That was me. I was like, I don't know what's happened. I am walking on sunshine. The girls in the flat, they said, like, are you on drugs, Steph? And I'm like, I'm not actually. I don't know what it's like to feel like I'm drugs. I've only ever had a space cake in Amsterdam, but I don't know. That's all. But it was amazing. Another significant time of knowing that it wasn't me, but it was the Holy Spirit, was. So yeah, my dad. He was quite naughty, that's all I'll say. I was living in England at the time and Dad was in Ireland, and I had heard, I'm like, all right, I've had enough. This is it. This has got to stop. And actually, I'm going to disown him. I have made myself representative of our family, and I was going to tell him on behalf of the family, we don't want anything more to do with you. Thank you very much. So I phoned him up. He was delighted. He said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you're coming over. I'm like, yep, be on the 2 o'clock ferry. I'll be arriving in from Liverpool to Dublin. I'll be in whatever time. He said, I'll be there to meet you. I said, good on you. So I went to bed that night, and I was thinking, God, you've got to give me the strength to tell this man. He's bang out of order. We are are so dumb. God, you've got to... Oh, I had a big rhyme what I was going to tell him. I think I was even going to public humiliate him getting off the ferry. You. Praying away. Hard out. So God says, he said, Steph, are you any less of a sinner than your father? I said, yeah. Silence. Well, I guess that's a no then. Because for God, sin is sin, right? When it's gone, it's gone. He doesn't measure it. He doesn't like have a bank where you come in and go, how much is this sin worth? Oh, £3 for that. You only got £20, you know, you've $17 credit left. It's like, we're going to run out pretty quick here. It's not like that, is it? So what happened that night? I don't know, but I woke up in the morning and I was so full of love for this man. This man who I was hating. I hated him for what he'd done to us. The shame, the embarrassment. And I actually put my feet on the floor when I was getting out of the bed in the morning. And I was like, I was weak and I was limp. Anyway, so I carried on. Got on the ferry, Liverpool to Dublin, got off at 2 o'clock. He was there to meet me. And I looked at him and I just went up to him and gave him this massive, massive hug. And he was crying. He was so grateful that somebody had extended a hand of reconciliation to him. I, honestly, in and of myself, I would have ruined that. That was my plan. I was out to ruin him. And God intervened. That was the Holy Spirit. That had nothing to do with me. Nothing. And we had a really, really lovely weekend together. And in fact, when I went back to the house, his house, there was a white Jesus sitting on the table. I'm like, where did you get that? He says, oh, the man upstairs. He's not physically, no. A different man living above. But it was the man upstairs, really, wasn't it? And he said, that man upstairs, he said he's like you, Steph. He's one of those born-again Christians. I was like, oh, my gosh. He said that man would go to the pub with him on a Wednesday night. He was an ex-alcoholic. And he'd go with my dad to the pub every Wednesday night and have a drink with him. I wrote to that man, and I said, thank you very much for being a friend to my dad. That man wrote back to me, and he said, your father's given his life to Jesus. So here I was with my plans to ruin him and destroy him. God had other plans. Of course he did. And the other time, when it certainly wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit, was the phone rang. Al and I were living in London, and the phone rang 2 a.m. So you know when the phone rings at 2 a.m., you're like, you know, you suddenly go, and then you go, oh, what's this about? So it was my brother. None of the other family really were believers at this stage. Anyway, my brother phoned. I said, what's up, James? He said, the baby's been born. I was like, what? The baby's not due for another 3 months. He said, yeah, right. I'm like, oh, gosh. So he said, will you guys pray? I said, yeah. So Al and I, we sat bolt right up in the bed. So it was definitely the Holy Spirit because it was 2 a.m., right? And I'm sitting bolt right up in the bed. And I started to pray. And in tongues, like I've never prayed before. And I got a picture of 3 cots in this hospital ward. Praying, and I saw the spirit of death. So I said, okay, you walk, get out. And he looked at me like, who the heck are you talking about? I said, you, in the name of Jesus, walk. And it bowed its head and it shuffled. Because it has to, it's the name of Jesus. They have to obey. And prayed and prayed and prayed and kept addressing this spirit of death to walk and move and shift in the name of Jesus. Every time I said in the name of Jesus, it bowed its head and it shuffled. When we finally got it to, and I could see it coming all the way down the hall, like, move in the name of Jesus, just keep walking, just don't hang around here, you don't belong here, this is new life, get out in the name of Jesus, going and going and going. And when we got to the hospital door, the big exit door, man, they're big, heavy doors. Oh, the resistance. We were like, and then the door closed and it went. And Alan and I was like, went to sleep. So a few hours later, the phone rang again. I said, James, what's happening? He said, yeah, there were three babies in that ward, Steph, and he said, they're gone. I was like, what? He said, no, they're gone. They moved out of that ward. It was like they were all just waiting for them to die, and they've all been moved out of that ward. There was three of them, Steph. I was like, what? That's the Holy Spirit. That's nothing to do with me. Thomas, that baby, he's 20 now. 20 years of age. So I also have lots of unanswered prayer and disappointment. And, you know, because we pray with boldness and authority, it doesn't guarantee that the prayer will be answered, right? But the next one might be. And we just need to keep praying. We need to do as Jesus did and leave the results to him. And by faith, we will do and see great things, right? Bottom line, guys, is if we're going to make any headway in this thing called a Christian life, Christian living, we need the Holy Spirit, right? And we need to be filled and filled and filled, ongoing and ongoing and ongoing, because we leak pretty fast. Can you? So how's your Holy Spirit levels today? Do you want a refreshing? Do you want an infilling of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to enjoy the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? Do you want to be empowered like Peter? And if you haven't ever confessed Jesus as Lord and received the Holy Spirit, it's a huge invitation to you today. Outstretched arms, Jesus is waiting for you. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, he is waiting for you to receive you. So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. So why don't you stand? Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come and have your way. Lord, we're hungry. We want you. We need you. We're hopeless without you. Come. More, Lord.
I wonder if there's a, as Steph was sharing, you know, like Peter's encounter being questioned around, oh, you were with that guy, you were with that guy, and then it was chapter 4, very similar environment where, why, in what name, and I just sense that the Holy Spirit is still present, that what could have been the source of Peter's greatest like shortcoming, the well in which the overwhelming doubt and guilt and sin and shame, that denying of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit comes, and that very well is a well of the most life, the incredible. It's that very moment where the enemy can make you. I feel like there's people here that you're being reminded this morning of the well, the deep well of shame and of sin and of all of the times that you've fallen short. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is here today to heal you in that very moment. That what you're being reminded of is the very place that the Holy Spirit wants to bring your the power, the transformation, the life. Just like Peter. If that's you this morning, I'd love you to come forward as an act of courage, as an act of desperation, that God, I need you. Come forward now, because he's going to meet you. And he's going to do for you what he did for Peter. What he's done for countless men and women of God. The very place and the very thing that is the most, the deepest well of shame and doubt and sin is the very place that he pours his spirit out. And life bubbles up. It fills you, but it fills those around you. This morning, as Steph said, and you've never given your heart to Jesus, man, we'd love you to come forward this morning, and we're going to pray with you. We're going to celebrate with you. That like that crippled man, whether you identify with him or not, you know, that so many people may have walked past, but this morning is your morning where Jesus isn't walking past you. That this morning is the morning that the lover of your soul is going to stop and look you in the eyes, and he's going to tell you to get up and walk.
And if you want joy today, and refreshing and an infilling of joy. We get pecked at, I feel. We get so pecked at these days. Demand and instruction and conformity and don't do this and don't think like that and behave like this. Let it go and let the Holy Spirit come and fill you to overflowing with joy. That you go out with that to those who need it. That you don't have to conjure this up and be nice and kind. Get it from the source. Come and get it, guys. Come and get it. Come and get it. Pour out, Holy Spirit, pour out. God, that we go out changed today. More, Lord, more. And young people, this is not for adults only. This is you guys down that back. You can do this in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Just get a sense that you're thinking of someone. There are people you're thinking of someone. That person the Holy Spirit is laying on your heart is the person that He wants you to get alongside, to see them, to call them forward, to let them know of the joy and the hope and the peace, the love that is theirs. Why don't we, I know it's really counter, you know, these moments, but I'd love for everyone to open your eyes. We've got a few people up here that have responded. I want you to open your eyes. I want you to look at the back of their heads. And I want you to say, I want you to pray the prayer, Holy Spirit, how can I bless what it is you're doing? How can I partner with you in what you're doing? Because like the stories that Steph shared, this isn't about us being our best selves. It's about the Holy Spirit being who He is and us saying yes to being part of it. Aren't we glad it's not about us being our best selves? So trust. Trust the still small voice. If the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to partner with this person or that person, move now and get alongside. And we're just going to do this really simply and beautifully. And I want you to come forward and I want you to stand and ask if it's okay, but lay a hand on this person's shoulder. And I want you to just say, Holy Spirit, I bless what it is you're doing. We've got someone over here as well. Come, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the power and the beauty and the freedom, joy and the healing of your presence. Those who aren't praying with anyone in particular, can you just join me as we pray for Amos? So Amos is a 7-year-old boy who's been part of Maharangi Vineyard since the day, since he was a tiny baby. And Amos is in Starship Hospital with leukemia. And I would love to stand and see the Holy Spirit invade his physical body and every leukemia cell be driven out. Anyone else want to join me? Father, we thank you for Amos. God, we pray and ask for your Holy Spirit to invade his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. That every broken cell in his body would be driven out and replaced by your God-created wholeness and completeness. That every fever and rash and a effects of this illness that he has suffered with, particularly this week, would be gone in Jesus' name. That for Matt and Lee as a mom and dad and traveling and driving and sleeping in terrible beds in Starship Hospital and worried for their son, Holy Spirit, come and bring a peace that is so much more than anything human possible. Faith, hope, love, joy. God, bind them together as a family. What the enemy has meant to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, Holy Spirit, bring life and life abundant. For all those who are present here today with their own illness, with their own battle, Holy Spirit, come now in power and healing in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done on earth right now as it is in heaven. And whatever that illness is, whatever that sickness is, whatever that brokenness is, isn't in heaven. And so we ask heaven to come now. That your power and your presence come now. Spirit, I just pray that you would break the chains of addiction now. Father, those things that dog us, like Steph said before, those things that just chip away at us, that are relentless. Those things that we wake up in the morning and they're there waiting for us and they're lingering around as we fall asleep at night. God, I pray now in the power of the Holy Spirit, those things be broken in Jesus' name. That their voices be silenced in Jesus' name. That their chains would fall off in Jesus' name. That freedom is here. That freedom comes. Peace comes. So we're gonna continue to pray and worship and minister, and we'd love you to be part of that as well. But now we've gone over. But there's morning tea up in Wilson Hall. But if you'd love someone to stand and pray with you, like we would love to do that this morning. So please come forward, or even ask someone next to you if they would be able to do that with you and for you. If you'd like some coffee, have some morning tea, say hello to someone, make your way up to Wilson Hall. We'll carry on, but we're gonna carry on here. Thank you.